Old, some old. But first of all, I want to give our friend Richard, if you can quickly come to the front, I want to give Richard the opportunity. Those of you who were here last week, you'll remember we prayed for two things. And one of those things, I really want to give him an opportunity to testify. So Richard, you can share what's on your heart.
Thank you, Pastor Carl. Morning, church. God is good all the time. For those of you who were here last week, or those of you who were not, our company was hijacked last week Friday. They hijacked one of our trucks, and on Sunday, Uncle David phoned Pastor Carl and requested that the church pray for our company and pray for a miracle. We did so. On Monday, we had to face all of our clients. We faced them. It was tough. Not all of them were as understanding as some. But we did that by the grace of God. We kept on praying. We believed in a miracle. On Tuesday, we spoke to the investigators, the tracking companies, and they basically told us that every day that goes by, it just becomes more impossible for us to recover our vehicle. On Wednesday, yet again, they told us the same thing, and they also told us the statistics in recovering anything after hijacking like this. And at about 11 o'clock, thanks very much. At 11 o'clock, my wife ran into my office and said that one of our own drivers just saw our truck. And it was parked in Kempton Park, just behind the spa. And statistically, it's impossible. And we just prayed for a miracle, and that's exactly what happened. So thanks once again to the church for praying for our company. Guys, I think this is testimony in itself that the impossible is possible in God. So yeah, just thanks to the church for your prayers. Then just something personal also. I take part in a very dangerous sport, motorsport. I do motorcycle racing. And next weekend is one of my national races. So please, guys, just keep me in your prayers for not just to win, which I would like, but especially for safety. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for sharing, Richard. That was really, it's a blessing, and it's just so wonderful to have testimonies like that. Richard, just by the way, the juice was for me. Okay. So, okay, it's great to have all of you guys here. Just one or two announcements. I just want to encourage all of you. It's actually out weekend and the youth isn't here, but the church is actually quite full. I do enjoy that a lot. We're going to start off from now onwards, starting from tonight, as was announced, from 6 o'clock. We're going to have praise and worship here, at church. And I really want to invite all of you guys, as of you can come, please come and join us. It will be every second weekend. Okay, our worship team is still small. I know Sanders is trusting for more musicians. So if some of you feel like joining the worship team, you're more than welcome. But we will keep on announcing it. But for now, every second weekend, we'll come together. Those of you who can come, we're just going to have no agenda. We're just going to come praise and worship, and we're going to see what God wants to do in our midst. Then I also want to encourage you guys. We want to start a campaign in our church. You know, thanks a lot. I saw some of the people brought some arms and some old clothes and things. We really appreciate that. But we want to start something where at the first Sunday of every month that you bring maybe a canned food or maybe sugar or pasta or anything like that. And don't bring milk or meat or stuff that can, I almost want to say rot, but please, if you feel in your heart, we will also announce it. We're not going to make it every Sunday, but the first Sunday of every month, if you feel it on your heart, we're not going to make it a law or anything. If you feel you want to bring something, please do so. We've got, as a church, there's so many people in need that almost weekly come to us and ask, listen, can't you help with this and that? We prefer to give food to people instead of money. It's just a bit easier. So if you feel that, please, next Sunday is the 31st, so the Sunday after that, if you feel like bringing something, we will really appreciate it. I promise you I won't take it home. Okay. And then, for those of you who know about our Keep Away Kids project, Shofar Christian Church, our bigger church, Shofar International, It's a project where they look after the AIDS orphans. You will know this in Namibia and South Africa. There's a huge challenges regarding that. There's on the board, I'm not going to go into much detail, at our board at the back, you'll see there's a request from Rolf, our friend that was here last year. He's the person driving this project. So if you in any way feel we don't have a let's call it a safe house here in Namibia yet, it takes a lot of human resources and financial resources as well. But please go and read the letter there, and then you'll see what it's about. And if you feel in any way you would like to become involved, I think we as a society as a responsibility and as a church over those kids, please speak to me and we can discuss it. Yeah, and that's basically announcements from my side. So I'm going to start this morning, and I just want to testify on something. You know, we have a lot of small kids in church, and it was just so dear to me just when the first light started breaking, before the sun even came up. You know, I was in my office like usual, I'm praying. Saunders, I was listening to the song we ended off. I was worshipping on that song. So, you know, that's interesting. But anyway, I was sitting there, and then I heard little small footsteps coming down the passage in our house. And I knew by the knock on the door, it wasn't the twins. They don't knock, they hammer. So it was little Ulrika just knocking there. And I knew, you know, she wanted to come inside. She knows I'm in there, you know. She's 1 year and 2 months old, but she knows it. And to cut a long story short, you know, I just was listening there, and I was actually, I know when I invite her in, it's kind of tough to get her out again, because then there's usually tears involved and stuff. But as I was worshipping, I thought, I'm just going to put that to the side now for a small while. And I just opened the door, pick her up, hold her, and I could see she really embraced the moment. And you know, I was standing there and holding her, and it was really special to me and to her, I believe. And then after a while, obviously, I had to do the tough thing, take her back to mom's bed, and you know, she kind of accepted it, fortunately. But the moral of the story is, you know, I just feel it in my heart, and you will not find it, these words in scripture anywhere. But you know, God really wants to put his things aside, and he's always willing that we can come to him. And as we were worshiping this morning, I just feel it so strongly in my heart. Maybe it's a word for someone here this morning, you know, that God is never too busy for us. No matter what happened, how big the need are, or anything, you know, you can just knock and God will open. You know, he's standing there, and he's always ready for all of us. And that's something I just wanted to share with you. So I'm going to start off by sharing a quote with you this morning. And the quote, maybe I'll leave this stuff here. I'm going to talk a little bit about money and our attitudes towards that. Now, if I could choose 10 favorite topics to preach on, money wouldn't be one of them. I'll preach about weddings and family and raising kids and preaching the gospel and stuff like that. Jan Cor once called me a very pastoral person with outward focus, so that's interesting. Usually pastoral people aren't too outward focused, but I try my best. But nevertheless, so I just want to hold it before you guys. Part of my duty as a pastor is to give you a balanced diet. We can't just have meat all the time. We should look at the broccoli as well. Yeah, it's why I said it is, finances and money isn't my favorite topics in church, but it's something we need to talk about. It's something, and I really trust God to cut in our hearts if necessary. This is something for all of us, I believe. So I just want to say, if you ever in your life have been hurt in a church regarding finances or money or anything like that, please just forget about, please put it behind you and hear my heart this morning. I'm just going to speak a little bit, share a little bit, and I believe this is part of the diet that we all need to have as well. So I'm going to start, and Dave Ramsey, he said, we buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't like. Okay, now I know that applies to none of you. None of you are bad sinners like that, buying stuff you can't afford, trying to impress other people. And you know, there's a saying, they talk about keeping up with the Joneses. Now I know when South Africa, to bring a little bit sport into church, so the Springboks play against Canada usually, or Wales, then there's a lot of Joneses, sometimes half of the team. So maybe David and Chad can tell us a little bit who these Joneses are. They are from Canada. But to keep up with the Joneses, and that's one of those things, some people, they try to impress the neighbor, maybe the father-in-law, maybe a wife or a husband or someone. And it's a dangerous thing, you know, if you live from a place where you always try to have the bigger and the better and the this and the that. And we all know that it's very nice to have a lot of things. All of us can draw, I guess, 10 things, write it down on paper right now, which you don't have, which you would like to have. Okay, I do have a list like that. I believe it's normal. We should dream our dreams. But the unfortunate thing is, you know, we live in a society where debt is immense. I have to tell you today, I'm not a financial advisor or an economist or something like that. But I'm going to try anyway. There's a lot of things in Scripture regarding finances too. And you'll see if you go and read and research a little bit, America's national debt is about $14 trillion American dollars. Now, I can't explain to you how much money that is, but it's quite a lot, and it's still growing. It's been growing for the past 5 decades. You know, so what are they doing? They're just making more debt and more debt and more of that. And that's a tough thing. And then if you go and read a little bit in the newspapers, you'll see Greece is practically bankrupt. The European Union have to help them just to keep standing. And if I'm understanding it correct, you'll see that Spain and Portugal, Ireland, those guys aren't far behind. And it will have tremendous effects on the economy if one falls, because then another will fall and another. And we all lived through the global debt crisis, or the financial crisis started in early 2007. I think we were really spared a lot of that in Windhoek and in Namibia, in a sense. But in South Africa, if you go and look at the property market and things like that, it went down a lot. Lots of people lost money. Okay, but I'm not going to talk about macroeconomic situations today. It's just a little bit of background. It's the world, the time we're living in. The banks are making a lot of money out of us. But yeah, that's some of the things. And you know, we will see that a lot will change in the world. You know, there's a lot of prophecies that needs to be fulfilled. You will see as we move forward all these one world governments and things, with the European Union and the African Union, and the newest one is BRIC, which South Africa is part of, with Brazil and China and those big dogs. There's a lot of things going to happen. But before I go any further, let's pray together. Father God, we want to worship you for today, Lord God. And Lord, we want to say that you are beautiful, Father God. And we want to lift our hands, Lord, as we has lifted in worship, and just proclaim, Lord God, that you are beautiful, Lord God, and that you are Father, and that you are God, Lord, and that you want what's best for us, Father God. And Father, that you need to raise us, Lord God, and you need to we need to be discipled, Father God, and you need to teach us and learn us, Lord God, and teach. Yes, Father God, and thank you for your word. Thank you for Scripture and all the truth that is in it, Lord God. Thank you that we know it's true and that we can teach and preach from that, Lord God. And Father, I pray this morning, Lord God, that your two-edged sword, Lord God, will cut in our hearts, Lord God. And Father, that cutting will not be to hurt us, Lord God, but it will be for the better, Lord God. That if there's any evil, anything that you don't want there, Lord God, Holy Spirit, I invite you that you will do the cutting this morning, that you will show each and every one of us if there's anything regarding money or finances, if we don't think straight, or if we're making any mistakes, Lord, if there's anything in our hearts, I pray, Lord God, that you will come and cut, Lord God. We invite you here, Lord God, and I pray, Lord God, that you'll bless us as a family together here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Richard, I'm just going to have a sip of your juice. I'm going to read to you, I've been starting off now 4 times. I'm just going to read to you from 1 Timothy 6, verse 9 to 11. It's a very well-known scripture. I believe most of you will know it. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Okay? So all theologians out there, does it say money is wrong? Does it say money is evil? No, it's not evil. Money as a currency, there's nothing wrong with it. We're not using sheep and cattle because only David will be able to buy something. He's the only farmer in the house I know. The rest of us, we're using money. Okay? We're using Namibian dollars. That's the currency we use. Scripture isn't against money. Scripture doesn't say it's wrong to have a house, to have money in your pocket, anything like that. But it's talking here this morning, the way I understand it and I research it, it's about our hearts. It's actually not about money. It can be, it could have said, it's any other idol in your life. You know, money can be something very nice. You know, if you have a big fat credit card, you can buy whatever you have. It can become an idol in your life. So Scripture is warning us, and it says, the love of money, you know, an unhealthy love, can become a root of all evil. Now I promise you, I'm sure most of you, if I take a coin from my pocket or a Namibian dollar, none of us love that piece of paper. Okay, so that's not what it's talking about. It's to love the power and the riches and the things that we can do with it. Okay, so Scripture isn't against that. I think that's just a foundation we need to lay this morning and to say to each other, church or Scripture or God or anyone is definitely not against that. It's just when we come to have an unhealthy relationship with money, there should be red lights starting to flick in our hearts, and we should see something isn't right. Now, if we read from Job 1 verse 21, it says, "Naked, without possessions, I came into this world from my mother's womb, and naked, without possessions, shall I depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Okay, so we all came into this world naked. I've seen the three babies born. You will know that's the way we come in and that's the way we go out. None of our cars, our houses, anything will go with us. And that's something to think about. That's something to ponder on, you know, because you can really work yourself dead, I almost want to say. And I'm not saying working is a bad thing, okay? But when we put our heads down and our time comes and we die, you know, we will take nothing with us. The only thing I know that we will take us with us into eternity is the disciples we make. Okay? No cash. John Tillotson said, "He who provides for this life, but takes not care for eternity, is wise for a moment, but a fool for eternity." Okay? And I think that's profound. It's, we can talk about money, and it's very temporary. But if we, by the things of God, the things eternal, that's of real big significance. That's the things that should really concern us. Money is definitely important. We as a church, we pay our bills in hard cash, okay? We rent, we pay phone bills, things like that. You will know I like to phone some of you, okay? But the things eternal, we need to be wise when we think in terms of eternity. And when we talk about money, okay, we should have these glasses of Scripture and God on. We can't think in terms of Hollywood and things like that. Then it's not going to work. Okay, so God must always be first in our lives. I have to say that. That's the most important thing, not finances or money. In Revelation 3 from verse 15 to 17, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. Now then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I wish to vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing,' and do not know that you were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." The thing is, guys, you know, I believe that, I especially look at a lot of Americans sometimes, we see about in newspapers and stuff like that. You will see, if you have your credit card, your three houses, your two boats, your everything, why do you need God? Why do you want God? You can pay for anything you want. You can swipe your card. You have all the desires of your heart. And Scripture is warning us against that. We can't be in a place where we say, "I don't need anything." Because I promise you, God, promise you this morning, God will sometime come and make you collapse your kingdom. That He can be first. Not to hurt you, but God wants to be first. He will do it for our own benefit. Martin Luther said, "I have held many things in my hands, and I have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in the hands of in God's hands, that I still possess." And that's just as important, that we know we can hold onto something, and you can go and Google it, and you can read on the internet. There's people that these past years have lost millions and millions through the global recession. You know, people lost. But I'm going somewhere by the things that we put in God's hands. If we say it belongs to Him, He's the provider, you know, then it's a little bit tough, eh? Because you move away from what you have and you say it belongs to God. Okay, so I want to ask a few questions this morning, and it's definitely not to condemn. I'm asking it to myself as well, but it's just to allow the Holy Spirit maybe to do a little bit of cutting, as I said. And it's about, does money bring a lot of stress in your life? I'm not going to ask us to put up hands, but here's a few indicators. You can look at this morning. So the first one, it can point that you are having financial stress, and that is your debt is growing each month. You know, maybe on your house, maybe on your cars, and then especially at Truworths and Woolworths and all those places, we buy things with the money we don't have to impress the people we don't like. Okay, if that stuff is just increasing, your accounts in terms of clothing or stuff like that, you know, it's going to cause you financial stress. Amen? You agree with me? The second one, you are making only the minimum monthly payments to your creditors. Okay, so you've got a few guys that you need to pay, the bank, the this, the that. Okay, so you're just juggling all the balls just to almost keep out of jail. Okay, just to, you're paying this month the municipality a little bit less, then next month you're paying the bank a little bit less, and you hope no one will come onto you or knock at your door or anything like that. You know, that's when you play the game almost just to keep the wolf away. And I promise you, I'm sure it will bring financial stress to all of us if you do that. Then a very thing that is maybe something nice to cut, if you miss one paycheck, you can't cover your mortgage or rent and bills. Okay, so if whatever were to happen in your life, you lose your job, the company closes, get retrenched or fired or whatever happens, that you live on such a close a budget or means of almost a cushion, if I can call it, that if something, anything small goes wrong, then you almost sunk. Then things almost go down. Okay? That's another indication that you're on very thin ice. Then you and your spouse fight about money regularly. Okay? If things aren't in place, if there's a lot of stress, I can promise you, you and your husband and wife, you know, you will argue a lot, you will stress about, if you research it, it seems that money is the second or third highest or biggest reason for people to get divorced. Okay? And it's sad if two people love each other and money come in between in the household and it makes people divorce. Okay? But that's a cold, hard fact. And then the last one, you are constantly stressed about money. That's all that you're thinking of. It's all that's on your mind. It's all that's going on. If some of these things are to a measure true in your life, if you feel a little bit like anxious or guilty maybe this morning, as I said, it's not to condemn, it's just to help us this morning. Because at the end of the sermon, I'm not going to pray for anyone to get rich or to be blessed in that sense, okay? But if you know in your heart there's something regarding you and money and the way you live that's not right, okay, then maybe you should bring it just before God and ask Him how to get out of that. Okay, so I'm going to present a small solution from Scripture for if you feel you're on this boat this morning. Okay, and it's the thing that the world won't tell you because it's not going to make sense. But Scripture tells us that we should give. We should give. If you have a lot of financial stress, you should give. Okay, now please listen to this morning. As I said, that will definitely not make sense in the world we live in, but in Scripture, there's something regarding that. There's something true in this. And it's something, okay, now definitely there's something. It's great, my daddy's sitting here, and you will definitely confirm what I'm telling you guys today. I'm a small little bit of a Jew, even though I have four German names. You know, I remember an instance that I bought these Swiss Army knife, the red one. So I can't remember if my dad paid it and I got it then, but I remember after a while I at least sold it two times back to him. Okay, so some of us do stuff like that, and it doesn't come too natural. Some people are natural givers. You know, my father's brother and his wife I just remember when we got there, they just give. You know, we never left there empty-handed. They just blessed us. They were the type of people, they just gave. And they weren't that rich in terms of monetary currency. But I promise you, they were very, very rich as people in terms of the friends, the people they had, they loved. Because it's a spiritual principle. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Okay? But for some of us, it's a little bit more tough. You know, it's easier to hold back, to save, to not to give. So if we look at, I mean, Jesus gave his life away. So for all of us, for some of us, like myself, I had to learn to give more. Okay? I'm a tither today, but I started off with maybe giving 20% of 10%. Okay? You get that? I just couldn't give that away. It was just, I used to save, and I think my dad will affirm I was a good saver when I was young. Now I can't save. I've got 3 kids. Okay? I invest in them rather. But that's part of my testimony, and maybe some of you guys, you have something similar, you know, where you can testify about giving, you know. It's something we need to learn, and it's something we have to talk about in church as well. As I said, it's part of my job. We should have a balanced diet in church. We should talk about everything. So Proverbs 11 verse 24 says, "Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything." Now that's from the New Living Translation, and it's very straightforward and almost very hard. Some other translations say it a little bit in other words and a bit softer, but I thought this was kind of hitting you. Give freely and become wealthy, be stingy and lose everything. Okay, now that's in context, of course. Another few signs that I've got that I want to share with you that maybe you can just check it in your heart again. If you have some type of a unhealthy relationship with finances, would be the following. If there's a lot of fear in your life, impulsive buying. Now, all of us, you know, I think it's supposed to work that if you can afford something, you buy it. Okay? Now, I'm not going to go into good debt and bad debt. None of us have. I think in Windhoek, you need 500,000 or 1 million or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 million to buy a house. Now, none of us just have that type of money when we're 20 or 25 or anything like that. We need to go through the structures to buy something like that, and I believe it's a good thing. There's no other way you're going to get a house today. Okay? But that buying of impulsive stuff. I've got no issue standing at Woerman and Brock and that chocolate's looking at me. It's not a challenge to me. Okay? But if I go to the gun shop, maybe. You know, there's stuff I like. Or I'm not using rifles, I use it for target shooting or hunting for healthy purposes. But maybe you play golf, or maybe you've got the other hobby, and there will always be, maybe you fish, or maybe you like cars. Some guys, I know what a normal car looks like when you buy it. But some cars, they've got so many extras. You know, these guys, they like their cars. Okay? But this is something, it's just a little warning. Richard, why are you laughing? Huh? I don't point fingers in this church. Okay. But impulsive buying can be something that you have to work on, because it can get you into big trouble. If you look at clothes and you can't really afford it, but you buy it, you're going to get yourself into trouble. Discontentment, I think it speaks for itself. You know, if you always just want more, and whenever you get something new, it's just not enough. You always want more. You're never satisfied with what you have. Stinginess, if you really can't give anything away, then maybe, you know, you need to get a little bit free from that. Definitely greed and debt, you know. That's if you're constantly in a bad place of debt, then you're gonna need to work on that, and I'll give you one of two solutions at the end. Okay, so let's continue with the relationship we have with money. We definitely need to make money our servant. We can't be a slave of that. And through giving, that's one of the ways that we will get free if we're in a tough place. So I just want to say one or two things on tithing this morning. I want to read to you from Matthew 23, verse 23. If anyone ever asks you about and tell you, yeah, but it was just the Old Testament thing, you can remember Matthew 23, 23. It's a nice and easy one to remember. Let me just get this stuff away, and you can see what's happening there at the board. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Okay? So I think it's kind of clear there. Jesus speaking here in Matthew. So if I were to say, Carl likes steak more than broccoli. Okay, that's a fact. But that I say I don't eat broccoli? No. Okay, so Jesus said, you should do these things, it's very more important. But he didn't say, don't tithe. Okay? That's one of the scriptures on that. Tithing is very important, I believe. Through it's like a mechanism that works a lot of ways. But through giving, God can teach us to not hold so on to what we have. Scripture, there's so many. I'll quote some of them to you just now. Then in 1 Corinthians 16 verse 1. Now regarding your question about the money being collected for God's people in Jerusalem, you should follow the same procedure I gave to the churches in Galatia. On the first day of each week, you should put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Don't wait until I get there and then try to collect it all at once. Okay? So those of you who earn something weekly, most of us today get a monthly salary, put something aside to give. You know, that 10%, I'm going to get to that. Let me read to you, and this I just want to read it to you. It's from our Bible school second year, and that's the heart behind this. You know, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, it goes to glory. It's greater, okay? So the Old Testament law said, do not commit adultery. Amen? Okay? The New Testament said, do not look with lust even. Don't even look with that something in your heart. Okay? So the Old Testament said, don't do adultery. The New Testament said, don't even look in that way towards someone. The Old Testament said, do not murder. The New Testament law said, do not hate in your heart. Okay? We shouldn't even hate. Okay, so it's even more, what would the word be now? It's even more strict in a sense. Strict, maybe not completely, but almost. Okay? And then thirdly, in the Old Testament it said, a tithe belongs to the Lord. The New Testament says, everything belongs to the Lord in Acts 4 verse 32. Okay? We should become 10%, that is what that belonged to the Lord in the Old Testament. Today we can say everything belongs to the Lord. If we read in, let me read the next scripture to you. If we read in Psalm 24 verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to Him. Everything belongs to Him. And this is something very important that we should get this morning. Okay, that's why I read those quotes to you about a fool for this moment or maybe a wise decision for the moment, but a fool in eternity. If you hold on to money for maybe a year or something, but you can lose everything in eternity. Okay? Please, again, I didn't say money is wrong, anything like that. It's just something with our hearts this morning. I think, trust, maybe next week we will talk a little bit more about debt and what does Scripture say about that in one or two things. I also want to read to you from Psalm 39, verse 4 to verse 7. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. We are merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. We heap up wealth, not knowing who will spend it. And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in you. And here, in this last two things I said, there's something important locked up for all of us. Okay? That we should have a bigger picture, that we should really understand that if you just think from hour to hour, day to day, month to month, living a life of just surviving, just getting by, just making it, you know, you're not going to have a lot of joy. Okay? But as soon as we start to realize whatever we have, God gives to us. God gives us different skills and abilities. Some people will earn thousands and some will earn less. God created that way. I always thought, why can one guy play for a sports team and do this and another one not? I played at Matric for the... We had 8 rugby teams in Matric. I played for the second last one. I'm a little bit bigger than now. And I thought, like, God, why can't I play for the first or second team as well? Well, God didn't make me that way. And I just have to live with it. Some guys are wired to make lots of money. They have professions where they earn a lot. And some people don't. Now, I can't explain that to you. That's just how life always have been. And I think it always will be. But there's something. And we must be content with what we have. That is why that keeping up with the Joneses, it will break you. Because you will never have enough. We will never ever have enough if we're trying to... There will always be someone that's richer than you. Maybe there's one or two guys, the really rich guys of this world. Okay? But it's always an amazing example to me. If I look at the guys in Hollywood owning millions and millions of dollars, and then their life just falls apart. Money don't bring us joy or happiness. Okay? It's maybe nice to have for a short while, but we should be rooted in God. We should be planted into God. If we can live from that place where we know whatever God, whatever we need, God can. God won't always give everything to us because He's a father. I don't always give everything to my boys because I know what's best for them. And God will give certain times to us what we need. That's why we gave the opportunity for Richard to testify this morning. It was almost impossible in a huge place with millions of people like Gauteng to get that truck. It's almost... I'm sure there's lots of trucks hijacked every day. What's the odds one of their own drivers drive past and get it? Okay? But that's the place of standing in faith. I know you, some of you have got amazing testimonies about how God came through for you. I remember last year, Blanche, when Lexania had to go to South Africa. You know, how things worked out and God just provided. Okay, so we must live from that place. If you earn $1,000 a month, there's no reason God can't bless you with $1 million. Okay? Do you agree with me? Everything is God. So we need to stand in faith. We need to grow. We need to learn that. But at the same time, I want to say to you this morning, if money is holding us so tight that you're stressing all the time, you're just getting nowhere, okay, then maybe I ask you a few questions that I believe can help us just to place where we are on the map. Jim Elliot said he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Can I read it again? He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Okay, he talks of giving finances away, but what we can't lose is our salvation, which is in the Lord. Okay, it's just to give you the two things. The one we can lose, the other we can't. And it's just, I'm talking about our hearts. I'm actually not talking about money this morning, okay? I'm talking about our hearts, our attitude toward that, something of God, etc. Now, I listened to one of my... another good quote. It's actually one of our other shofar pastors. His wife made this quote on a series about finances, Sonika Kreer, and she called it her own quote, and she said, just because you can afford it doesn't mean you should have it. Okay? Usually we think if we have the money for something, we can buy it because I have the money. But maybe, and I'm not talking about a chocolate or a Coke this morning, I'm talking about bigger things. Maybe next time, before you think like buying that nice blazer for $800, then maybe you should just ask yourself this question: I have the money, but do I need it? Should I buy it? Maybe I must put it in my home loan. Maybe I must sew it. Maybe I must do this or that. Maybe it's just to challenge you this morning a little bit. And I want to use something else that they researched. There's a few nice books that I can also advise to you at the end if you want to read a little bit. And it's called the 70% principle of lasting wealth. Now, this is going to be challenging and be tough, but I know maybe I must ask Ndiye to preach on these things one day because I know it's close to his heart and to some of us as well. But I want to share it with you. So if you receive your income, okay, then obviously we all pay tax. And Jesus said we must give to the king what belongs to him. Okay, so we need to pay our taxes, and then of what's left, okay, 10% is a tithe. We tithe 10%, And then secondly, now this is if you are not in debt. If this is if you are completely debt free. I'm not saying this is the only way. I say this can be one option to help you to steward your finances a little bit. And the first is your 10% is your tithe, and the second 10% you go into savings, into save, okay? And then the third 10% go towards investments, okay? Invest money. It's a good thing. It's not bad, okay? Scripture says if you sow more, you will reap more. But now, see how it differs if you are in debt, if you're paying off a lot of debt, okay? Then the first still is your tithe. Then the second can't be savings, it must be paying off the debt you have, okay? And then the third one goes into savings, okay? So you're not going to be able to invest it won't be easy. So this is, if you can live from 70% of your income, then you can tithe, then you can invest, and you can save. Okay, that's just something. This is no golden rule. This is no cast in stone thing. It's just something to challenge our paradigms a bit, because many times when I talk to someone or hear people, if we're just casually speaking, they will say, but I've got no extra money. Okay, there's no nothing. Okay, and we all need to save, because you never know when you drive on the road and you lose a tire, like I have this year, because of a spiker in the road or something like that. You never know whatever going to happen. We need to store up a little bit. Are you with me? You agree with me? Okay. That is one of the major keys to reaching financial peace, is this, to be able to live off 70% of your income. And maybe you're going to say now, me and my wife, we have got that discussion a lot of the time, and then we say to each other, well, we need to buy that because we need it. But the fact of the matter is, you can only buy what you have the cash in hand. If your income is X amount, okay, the pizza has only got so many slices. So you can't really, except if you get yourself in a lot of debt, and we did talk about that right now, you're going to get yourself into trouble. So we need to learn to save a little bit, and if you can even invest a little bit, that will be even better. Amen. I want to pray for us. Father God, I want to thank you this morning, Lord God, that it's also on your heart, Lord God, to speak to us about finances, Lord God, about money, Lord God, about your heart towards that, Lord God, about, yes, Lord God, that we will not fall into that snare, that trap of the devil, Lord God, where we get so caught up into debt, Lord God, or anything about loving money or anything like that, Lord God, that we can't even see you or hear your voice, Lord God, that when we make decisions, Lord, that we just look at our bank balance, Lord. Lord, I know that you want us to step out into faith, Lord God. And as I said this morning, Lord God, that we should even give more, Lord. We know that everything belongs to you, Lord God. And Lord, if we tithe or give alms or anything like that, Lord God, or if you bring an offering to church, Lord God, you want us to exceedingly abundantly, Lord, to sow, Lord God, because Lord, you say in your word you love a cheerful giver, Lord God, and he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, Lord God. And I know, Lord God, that you want to encourage us, Lord God, to become cheerful givers, Lord God, to have our hands open, Father God, that you can bless us, Lord God, because if we give nothing, Lord God, it's almost impossible for you to bless us, Father God. I pray, Lord God, that as we are sitting here, Lord God, every person, every household, Lord God, we know what our finances look like, Lord, and we know what the challenges are, Lord. And Father God, we all can say to each other that life is expensive, Lord God, and everything, Lord God. But I pray, Lord God, if any of us have an unhealthy relationship with money, Lord God, or it's constantly something that keeps us awake at night, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that you will give us counsel, Father God, that you will point us towards people, Father, that can help us, Father God, and how to get out of it, Lord God, and get to a place, Lord God, where we can walk away from that and say, Lord, everything I have belongs to you. It's yours, Lord God. Everything that we have, you blessed us with, Lord God. And Father God, that we will make the right decisions in terms of eternity, Lord God. That our hands will be open, Father God, and that money will be something, Lord God, that will be under our foot. under our feet, Lord God, that we won't serve it, Lord, but our money will serve us, Father God. I pray it in Jesus' name, Lord God, and I ask this morning, Lord God, that you'll bless us as a church, Father God, that we will be a giving church as well, Lord God, that we will be a praying church, Father God, and yes, Lord, that we will give our love, Lord God, that we will preach the gospel, Father God, but Lord, that our hands will be open, Lord God, to help each other, Lord God, and really to reach out to where the huge, huge needs all around us are, Lord God, in Jesus' name, amen. So I wanna hold it before you. Maybe Harry, you could just quickly come to the front if you can, maybe just play for us on the keyboard. If there's any one of you guys here this morning, and as I was talking, I said I was actually talking about our hearts and just a little bit about money. If there's anyone here, as I said, I'm not gonna pray for anyone, so don't ask it to be blessed or to become rich or anything like that. But if any one of you are really in a tight spot financially and you just want to agree with someone, you know, that's the amazing thing about a God we serve. No matter what mistake we make, what sin we do, there's the blood of Jesus Christ to forgive us. And there's grace for all of our mistakes. Okay? But God wants us to grow as well. So if there's anyone here this morning and you feel almost choked about money and about stress regarding money and finance, and you're not knowing how you're going to live, and you think maybe, Pastor, it's easy for you to say or anything like that, if you feel you're really in a tight spot, I want to invite you this morning. I just want to agree with you. I would like to pray with you, and let's together stand in the gap and really trust God to come through for us. And if you feel maybe as the keyboard are playing, I'm just gonna give a moment, and maybe all of you can just close your eyes for 1 second, please. If you feel this morning that as I was preaching and I was using words, if you really feel convicted in your own heart, if you feel maybe you've been a bad steward, maybe you made bad decisions or you made mistakes and you're really reaping the bad fruit of that, if there's anything this morning in your heart and the Holy Spirit is touching that, whenever I said it, it's like something cutting in your heart and you really feel maybe guilty, I just want it in your own time, in your own heart right now, just to bring it before God and speak to Him about it. Just speak to God and ask Him to lift that burden and to help you this morning. Thank you. Amen. So I'm going to, Medea, Sanders, if you guys can come up, we're just going to end off by singing that last song again. Beautiful. If there's any of you guys, if you feel you need prayer this morning, someone to agree with regarding anything, doesn't have to be finances. If you've got anything on your heart, if you're not standing, if you maybe feel you there's a bit of work to do between your relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're not sure about that, anything, please come to the front. I would love to pray with you this morning. We're all going to worship the song together, and then afterwards, please, you are welcome to join us for coffee or tea, and you must enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Be blessed, and remember, we will be here tonight at 6 o'clock. If you guys, those of you who can make it, we're just going to put this chair a little bit to the side, and we're just going to worship together. Amen. So enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and see you next week.
Okay, thank you.